Hello there, welcome to the official EFL podcast. Do you know what? I can't move for Weavers this week. Firstly, Harrogate Town boss Simon joins us after what's been a testing week.
If you're not quite on it, you can be put to the sword, and we certainly were on Tuesday, but we move on, safe in the knowledge we've got a good group of people.
Sky Sports Gary Weaver is here as co-host once again, which is fantastic. And we have a wonderful initiative from the EFL, which our very own David McArdle joins us to explain. If you're enjoying our stuff, then press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from so that you never miss an episode. Do you know what? You can watch it on YouTube every single week as well. That's it. Let's get cracking. It's the official EFL podcast. Okie dokie, welcome to the latest edition of the official EFL podcast. I'm sat in a rented accommodation in Whitby, which is lovely, and it's raining outside, which is the northeast coast for you. Gary Weaver, how are you?
I'm all right, Pruts, how are you?
I'm good on my jollies, of course. Kids are enjoying it and staying out of trouble, which is great.
Is that a nice fireplace behind you there?
It's fake as well, which is great. And there's a dustbin, which you've just over my left shoulder, which I nearly showed you, but I'm not going to carry on. You've been a busy man this week, as ever, on your travels.
Yeah, Bristol City on Tuesday. Good performance from Bristol City there. Saturday, Ipswich, West Bromwich, Albion, and see, yeah. Both alongside Don Goodman, so I don't know what I did to deserve that or what you did, but, you know.
Obviously,
we survived.
Yes, and you both did, and we'll get stuck into that in due course. Joining us is a far superior Weaver. I've waited for the last couple of days to say that. It's Simon Weaver, the Harrogate Town manager. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
It's a pleasure for you, a pleasure for us, not for you. We'll soon see if it's a pleasure for you. A pleasure for you to join us, mate. Right, let's get stuck into it. I texted you yesterday about what we're going to talk about. And of course, there's some wonderful, wonderful work being done over the course of a very long period of time at Harrogate Town, over 15 years. But Tuesday would have been tough, really tough. And having been there as a player on the wrong end of a sizable scoreline, I can only imagine what it's like as a manager. As a player, you sit there, your head in your hands, you're sharing it with 11 other people and possibly the subs. As a manager, people look at you, don't they? People look at you for answers, they look at you for an opinion, look at you for a take on it. Talk us through it, if that's okay.
Yeah, so it was, we went into the game full of confidence, top of the form, guide over 10 games. So it's no fluke, you know, and just entered the playoffs. And we're coming up against a Mansfield team that are very strong, but we've had a cracking record against since coming into the Football League. And we really treat it as like a derby, really. They're not too far away. And we've always been wired in and up for the battle and produced good performances. But, you know, football is a crazy game sometimes. And it threw up a game where everything that could go wrong went wrong. And they were firing bullets, you know, left, right and centre that all seemed to fly in. It's difficult. You know, it's difficult as a player. But it's a responsibility of mine as a manager, though, to try and absorb that, even though it's quite traumatic at the time, conceding
Absolutely.
9 goals. And it's quite a shock to the system. But I do feel over 750 games, I can quite rationalise it and understand that it's a freaky game. It's a freaky result. And it's my responsibility to calm the players down and press the reset button now, which isn't easy. And after the game, they were down. They were upset and they were shocked. But I am in full admiration of our squad. They're a good group of people, you know, on and off the pitch, all very humble. So it wasn't a slagging match, you know, and it was all going, let's just pour some cold water over this. You know, this can happen in this day and age. Techniques are much higher than when I was playing. And if you're not quite on it, you can be put to the sword. And we certainly were on Tuesday. But we move on, safe in the knowledge we've got a good group of people.
That's an amazing way to put it, because I was thinking about it, because as we work through the week putting the podcast together and making sure that we have good guests that can chat, which is quite evident what you are, Simon, and you look at the scores come in, you are kind of sitting there going, I wonder what the reaction to that is. But the context that you've put it in with regards to the amount of games, I mean, the volume of years that you've been at the helm of that football club, means that there's been a lot of good stuff, but when the not so good stuff comes along, you have to, it's treating success and failure in the same kind of, with the same approach, isn't it? Like, that doesn't define you a Tuesday night result against a team such as Mansfield, who are a very, very good team, let's be brutally honest, over the course of what you've seen, over the course of what this season's been. And are you just looking forward to what the reaction of all the players is?
Yeah, that's what I said after the game, that albeit in different circumstances, I still enjoy the part of the job where you're people watching and you've seen, you know, what,
such a good way to put it. Yeah,
it's you know, when we've tried to always aim for good characteristics of, but when one of the main ones being resilient. You know, you're not coming to Harrogate Town expecting to be at the top end year and year in this level of football. We're on a constant journey, and I'm probably still here because I enjoy part of it being problem solving. And the fact that, you know, we prove people wrong a lot of the time and keep going forward, and no matter what, you have to ride the punches. And we got punched, you know, where it hurt between the eyes the other night. But we've got to, you always got to pick yourself up. And it's also, I said to one of the players last week, who was disappointed in not playing, I said, you know, what you can't do is go home and be morbid about it, because you can be self-indulgent as a player. Mm. And then you're not resting that edge, you know, and it's the same for me as a manager. I've got to come and do battle for every game, you know, and we're outnumbered in the terraces most weeks. Mm. But we've got to, I've got to go home, and I'm a dad, I'm a brother, and I'm a son, you know, of a chairman. And it's, but I'm 46 and I've got to carry that, you know, and act responsibly. And one of the facets of that is to look after the players. You know, and it was traumatic the other night, but it can be jubilation on Saturday if we respond well.
That's the thing, Sam, isn't it? By the way, I've got to say, I thought you spoke really well after the game, because I've been on the other side of the camera doing interviews with managers afterwards, and it's
that
a difficult...
That must be tough, Gary, though. How do you think that went?
It's a difficult arena when suddenly you got some smart aleck with a camera going 10 minutes later. Well, what happened there? But I thought you spoke really well. But I was going to say, are you the kind of manager that will always go in and have words with players after games anyway? Because your managers, sometimes they might leave it till the analysis day. Did you feel you had to with this one? Obviously, even if you didn't regularly do it. I know Thomas Frank at Brentford always says 24 hours, get that game out of your system within 24 hours and we move on. Is that the kind of similar kind of thinking?
I haven't always got an exact way of doing it. You know, there's plenty of routines in football, but yeah. Sometimes the emotions of a game, I can't help but go in, you know, and just even for a couple of minutes, speak to the players, and it's just try and get it in a nutshell. But obviously it was a long walk from the away fans the other day, who, by the way, they were brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a bit of a cowardly way out if you don't go over and appreciate their support.
Yeah.
And if you face the music, you face the music, because they've spent all afternoon getting there, and obviously we disappointed them. But I think they were appreciative of the fact that we've been on such a good run. We're trying to, you know, I guess reinvent the way we've played this season, because we've lost our target men. We've got a different looking team, but we've driven some really good results out of the way we played, which may have contributed in some eyes to us conceded more goals the other night, because we kept at it.
Yeah.
I think after games, I more or less come in, you know, give them a couple of minutes and then give them a brief review. But you get a more accurate one, after a couple of days, when you actually analyse the game and then speak without emotion, really.
Yeah.
It's fascinating what you said before about your roles, not just as manager, but as a well-rounded human being. Answering to the chairman, of course, there's a different dynamic to that, isn't there, Harrogate?
There is, and you know, it's well known that he's an owner, and you know, he cares, and he got on the coach the other day, and so did my mum, you know, and they're both as keen, you know, on the club, and they're on the opposite table, and I've got my dad into playing paddle recently, because I think he needs it. You know, he's not skiing anymore. I said, you need to get out and play a bit of sport. And He got a lesson. He's into it. Then he's trying to get his app, Paddle app. You know, saying, "What do I do to book on this court?" It's not. So I'm thinking, I'd actually like to get on my laptop a little bit and just about to finish it off this way. But he's excited. And my mum said, "Well, you know what he's like because of the runner results. He's all over the place. He's so excited and full of adrenaline." And then before you know, 3 hours later, it's bang, you've conceded 9. I think as a dad, you can't help. You try and front it up and he will. But I think he's a brilliant man. You know, he's proved to be successful in his
very much so.
Film career. Yeah. But it was a knowing look that, look, you know, it hurts. Football can hurt you. But he also knows how we've pulled through different situations, difficult circumstances, and tended always to bounce in the end, you know, and get stronger and because it doesn't break us. You know, we keep going.
And to be where you are now, Simon, in the league, just off that playoff picture right now, or just behind the playoff places, were you expecting to be there this season? You know, we know you've competed with likes of Notts County and Wrexham in non-league before, but to be where you are now, put aside the other night now, I suppose, but did you expect that it would go as well as it has done this season?
Probably not, if I'm being honest. It wasn't that we were being depressingly, you know, unambitious, you know, at the start of the season. You can't recruit players like that. But the directive from up above me was, well, we need to hang around in the Football League, you know, to get this fan-led review through, to get initiatives off the pitch, to keep driving the club, to build up the second part of the away stand, to get the revenue from the away support, to actually...
Pressure!
Yeah. So you've got to stick in there. And it's as simple as that. And then, obviously, a couple of days before the start of the season, we're made aware we'd probably lose a main centre-forward, Luke Armstrong. So that threw us in to a place of a bit of mayhem for a bit. So it's... But I'm so pleased. You know, we lost Luke and then we've gone from strength to strength. And it is that band of brothers feel about it, you know, from everybody. And it's tight, you know, and we've got good results from actually being pushed into a situation where we want an identity, we want a good way of playing, want to entertain Harrogate public so they come back again and sponsors to the ground. And so it's all worked towards us figuring out a way of playing that actually we can punch above our weight and score goals and entertain and keep it tight for the majority of games.
It's the thing is, so we, myself and Gary Weaver, the lesser Weaver on this chat.
I'm not going to live that down now.
The lesser Weaver. We do have the chance to speak to a lot of people on here, and it's always a real privilege. But because geographically, I've got a vested interest in this. I've bumped into you a couple of times, haven't I, in and around Harrogate. But in the scheme of myself and my family living there, both kids are born there at the hospital, which is a stone's throw from the ground itself. Yeah. It's all very, very local. And like I said, seen you a couple of times. The journey that they've been on, I mean, Gary Weaver, you can't move for people that used to play for Harrogate Town at some stage because of where it's come from. And now it's obviously moved into a Football League club. But seeing what you've done, seeing how you've managed to put it on the map, I mean, 15 years in, is there, and this is me not wishing you away from the town because everyone loves you and you've done the most wonderful of jobs. Is there ever a Harrogate Town without Simon Weaver? And is there ever another football club that you would kind of mosey into? Because it's such a unique setup that you've got and it's been phenomenally successful, hasn't it?
Well, I appreciate those kind words. There possibly is, you know, at some point. I don't know when that may be, to be honest. I love the job. I still feel it's a privilege to be here, you know, and the stability does help the players. It does, and it helps me find different ways of doing it and patch ourselves up to go again. You know, I've got the vested interest in it. So we brought Sarah Barry in, the chief executive, and I met her in Harrogate and I thought she'd be perfect to really launch us, you know, in off the pitch. And she's done that. So there's elements to it where I really care for the people involved. So it's not a case of, right, tomorrow I'm off, you know. However, because I want them all to have the stability too. But if there's a scenario where I think, well, we've hit the ceiling now.
Yeah.
We can't go high. You know, where do you go from this? You know, then of course I have to, for my wife and kids, think, oh, you know what? I think it's now, you know, where there's an opportunity, there's like-minded people, and they understand maybe what can bring out my strengths, then yes, I would never say, oh, never at all, because you can't in football, and I can't do it for my own direct family.
It's phenomenal to hear that and your commitment to it. And just to kind of bring it full circle, we were there on, it was my son's birthday, and it obviously coincided with obviously Wrexham being in town, and on Facebook everyone said that Ryan Reynolds was going to be there. So the demographic of women between the ages of 30 and 50 had gone through the roof at Harrogate. So we were all sat there watching the team. And again, it was one of those where you're watching your local football team. I was born and bred in Hull, so watched Hull City a lot when I was a kid, but sat there with my kids watching that and seeing what it is. And it's such a wonderful atmosphere. It sounds a little bit twee, but it's a really welcoming place to watch football. You had the Wrexham fans singing their hearts out. You had the Harrogate Town fans singing their hearts out. And it's a real, it's almost a bit of a throwback to what is your first involvement and experience in football. And it's an overwhelmingly welcome one in this day and age when lots of dynamics are at play in all different kinds of stadia across the world.
Yeah,
to go there and sit there and watch football, entertaining football, it's just an absolute credit to yourself and the players, Simon.
No, thank you. We try. And go back to first conversation. Sometimes we might fall short, but I think we've got good characters throughout the club, you know. And from locking up and washing kit in the first few years,
that's amazing.
Turning the lights off to then find an hour in a gym somewhere, you know, for a lucky to train to be in this situation. That's why probably I'm more than equipped to suffer a bloody nose from time to time. But the feel good factor in the stadium is because of that journey and everyone playing the part, and know that the supporters are valued, because we have to try and balance that. We do have to try and balance the books, but also the noise, you know, the self-esteem of the players go through the roof. That when you went to that game, Wrexham game, it was brilliant. And the synergy, 2-0 down between our fans and players, was magnificent, you know, and then in turn the players appreciate it. So it's a good place to be right now. It's a good place to be. And you know what it's like in football clubs as well. There can be an element of being a bit toxic on and off the pitch if people aren't feel valued. Or I see like backroom staffs that are, they're massive at times. Yeah. Thinking, well, how can you feel valued if you're just lifting a few cones up? You know, everybody's... You know, and he takes the warm-up still. He's absolutely magnificent, and sometimes think, oh, am I stretching him too much, you know, with how busy he is. And the physio's the kit manager as well, you know, so she's sweeping up, changing rooms, getting all the kit together and patching players up at the same time. But they don't half love the job, you know, and with that just gives us energy, in my opinion.
So I was going to say, I know Prutt's mentioned before they're a famous resident in Harrogate, and David Putnam, obviously. how important has Gareth Southgate been to you on the couple of occasions that, you know, you kind of dealt with him? And I know he went in and spoke to the players a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did. You know, he was great. He's obviously been busy, hasn't he? It's not like a constant team tour by any stretch, but when we went up from the National League, he kindly accepted an invitation to come and speak to the players. And you know, they were great, the players as well. They were asking questions and about penalty routines and, you know, so it was... I mean, they didn't ask for insight into Boreham Wood or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure Gareth knew that from his scouting network. But no, it's just a break from the norm. Sometimes it's relentless, the season, isn't it? You know, we're 31 games in now. And just to break it up, you know, and not be so monotonous, and then have the England manager walk in, it was wonderful. You know, it was a great game. I've seen him in Harrogate in a closed shop. And
which one?
Top man.
His waistcoat.
You look at his waistcoat.
I'm going to look at a waistcoat and say, that's mine. But actually, there was a couple there, and they were looking at crying. They follow me out, and then right into the car park. I said, "What's this?" And then they turned around and said, "They said, am I right in saying?" And I went, "Yes, that was Gareth Southgate." And I
was, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. See you, bye.
You don't know me, but you know Gareth Southgate.
Yeah.
Excuse me, mate. Is that Gareth Southgate?
Brilliant.
That's very funny. Simon, I've got to say, thank you so much for your time. I mean, it's not too dramatic a sentence to say, but there'd have been a lot of managers that would have texted us in the interim and gone, do you know what? Don't fancy it today. So we really do appreciate that, mate. And like I said, when a message saying we'll chat about what's gone, we'll chat about what is, but the many, many positives that you're doing with that football club, they're a joy to behold, mate. So congratulations and keep up the good work.
Cheers. No, I appreciate it. Thanks to you both.
Cheers, Sam. Good luck.
Thanks,
so,
Gary. Nice one.
Say goodbye to a very good weaver, the lesser weaver. You've got
a little
break now. I'm still
studying your family tree. There's
yeah,
there,
sorry, mate. I'm just being horrible to your face, which is brilliant. It's a real joy of this podcast good. Being able to say that. You can take a little break. There's no 72 in 72 this week. We're going to talk to David McArdle about a wonderful initiative coming from the EFL. David, thank you so much. We're launching the Puma Orbiter Rainbow Ball, which is part of the LGBT History Month. Can you just give us a bit of a background to what the initiative is about?
So the initiative is really about just giving a voice, giving representation, allowing the EFL to take a step forward in its work around ED&I, and specifically in this occasion around the LGBTQ+ community, and really allowing them to see them being involved in the game, to have that voice, to have that representation, to see the game actually taking a leap forward and utilising the ball, which is probably the most important part of a game in terms of it's on the TV screens all the time. Everybody in the stands spend the whole game following it.
staring at the football
and officials are involved in it, players are involved in it, spectators are involved in it, the TV audience are involved in it. Pundits like yourself and presenters like yourself are talking around about the ball. So it became a really important element for us to how can we work with our partners, work with our quality stakeholders to really bring something new to the table.
So for two weekends in the EFL, all 72 football clubs will be using this specific match ball?
Yeah, 72 across the 36 games every weekend. So every team will have a home game where they can really celebrate this activation and really bring it to life in their own way, in their own voice, using their own LGBTQ+ fan groups, involving their supporters. So it really gives us a chance over this 2 weeks, which incorporates LGBT History Month and Football versus Homophobia Month of Action, to really elevate the message that the EFL and the Together strategy.
So you talk about the message, the message to the fans. What do you hope that is, firstly? And then is it about more than the awareness with regard to this specific subject?
I think part of it becomes of we want fans to just be more aware of the experiences that other fans go through to access the game, the challenges that they face, and in some ways how the words that we might not really fully understand has an impact on people does have an impact on others. And also really just, I think what we have from when we've done our consultation and when we've spoke to fans from the LGBTQ+ community is that they don't feel the game really caters for them. They don't feel the game really understands that they are there and that they are part of. And we have some phenomenal, vibrant fan groups from Newport to Southampton to Leicester to Sheffield Wednesday. All over the country, we have these fan groups. And really, we wanted to take the opportunity to really speak directly to them and produce a campaign that they could be proud of, that the sport actually does think about them, that we care about them. And we really want them to be an impact on the future of the EFL.
And the fact, of course, that fundamentally homophobia has no place within any of our stadia, within any of our football teams, clubs, matches across the EFL, just completely unacceptable. That's what the message fundamentally is, really, isn't it? We want everyone to come to football and enjoy it for what it is, a wonderful game.
Yeah, and we created the Together strategy specifically to say that no form of discrimination would be put up against another. No form was more important than another form, and really this is our opportunity to shine a light on the homophobic attitudes that some fans will demonstrate, that some fans will use the words, similar to what we did earlier in the season when we did Together Against Racism.
Yes.
And it's very similar of shining a light into some of the challenges and some of the experiences that people have, to just show that it's not acceptable. It does have an impact mm-hmm. on people's lives. And really, when it comes to your own sexual orientation, what does it really matter to a fan sitting beside you, or a fan who wants to potentially use it as a form of abuse? So we want to raise that awareness, but also have it as an opportunity to celebrate the game and celebrate, as what I said before, the fundamental part of the game is the ball, and really bringing that to life and really bringing that to what is an innovative and professional football and really allowing everybody to impact on it.
I mean, the word celebration is absolutely the right one, because that's literally what we all come together to do, isn't it? And it starts this Friday, doesn't it? West Brom against Southampton, the perfect game to advertise what we're talking about and showcase this wonderful new football.
Yeah, the opportunity we have with the EFL is not just the 36 matches that take place every weekend, but it's the exposure that we have on the likes of Sky Sports and the likes of ITV with the highlights programme. So we have a reach unlike no other league in the world, mm-hmm. Where we have 36 games, 72 individual communities, an audience of hundreds of thousands, millions, yeah. watching the EFL on a weekly basis. So unlike anybody else in the world, we have the opportunity to make a massive difference.
Well, I mean, it's been a pleasure as ever, David. We've spoken about many things. It's yeah. always lovely to chat to you, my friend. But it's such a wonderful innovation. I'm looking forward to it. So we're there at the Hawthorns on Friday night with it in full flow. And as you say, it's such a key and simplistic message. The best way to get people to look at a certain subject, put it on the football. It's wonderfully simplistic. Was it your idea?
Well, if it's simple, it's going to be my idea. There's no doubt about that. And again, hopefully at the Hawthorns on Friday night, we kick off with plenty of goals, because every goal scored during this two-week window, there's going to be a donation made by Puma to Fans for Diversity, which will go directly to support these LGBTQ+ fan groups and their activities and potentially setting up some new ones. So more goals we see across Championship, League One, League Two, and the Sky Bet leagues will just make an additional benefit. They'll have longevity past this next two weekends.
Fantastic. Fingers crossed for a record-breaking goal return over the course of this next couple of weeks. David, thank you so much.
Cheers, Prats.
Wonderful insight there from David McArdle, the man that's explained everything to do with the Rainbow Football coming your way very shortly indeed. Now I'm going to revert back to my favourite weaver now that Simon's gone. I was blatantly sucking up to him because I see him all the time.
I can't look at you in the same way anymore.
But I tell you what, and we were just saying, Gary, weren't we? Football can be a cruel place. It can be one which has got a lot of paranoia in, but what a wonderfully normal human being Simon was, and the fact that he came on, I think, speaks volumes, doesn't it, after a testing week, shall we say.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, when I saw his interview afterwards and then read the quotes from other interviews, I thought he will definitely come on. I think we were having a little bit of a I wonder whether he would or not, but he's a solid citizen, isn't he? He's good fella, brilliant what he's done, and they hopefully for their sakes they obviously can bounce back pretty soon.
Yes, of course. And another wonderful fella who would want to bounce back after what's been a wonderful run of form. You were there at the start, you were there at the end. I'm not saying for one second that you are a good luck charm, then a bad luck charm, Gary, but,
but you are.
Southampton against Bristol City, you were at Ashton Gate, and it saw what has been a phenomenal run of form by the Saints come to an end.
Yeah, so we were there for the late September when they beat Leeds on the South Coast. That's when that run started. And if you remember, he was kind of under pressure then, Russell Martin. I remember talking to him before that game saying the training's been really good, but it was on the back of four successive defeats. So that was late September. They'd gone all the way through to mid-February without losing, 25 games, 22 in the league. And then Bristol City the other night. The thing is, Puts, you know what? It's like three-game weeks in the Championship.
Yeah,
anything can happen. Everything can change. You know, team lineups change. Rhythm can change. You know, both head coaches made four changes to the team, to their respective teams. But I think Southampton really missed Flynn Downes, who was injured at the heart of the midfield. But credit Bristol City. They looked really threatening every time they move forward, actually, on the counter-attack as well. And Liam Manning, he's kind of got this reputation as wanting to be a possession-based coach and build from the back, which he does ideally. But he always says to me, football's a game of cat and mouse. If a team's going to press us high, we'll go over you. I'm not wedded to, we're definitely going to play out this way, a bit like, I suppose, Russell is at Southampton. But no, I mean, in this league, Prutz, to go 22 league games unbeaten is unbelievable. And even having done that, they still can't outrun the rest. it's incredible, really. But I mean, Russell Martin's thinking is, look, let's take it on the chin and let's go again with a difficult game, though, of course, West Bromwich Albion coming up.
That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? Because that little slip-up means that Leeds have leapfrogged them into second. So they sit on 66 points, play 32 games. Southampton with a game in hand on 64. I mean, it would be very straightforward to say the makeup of the top three should be the three teams that came out of the Premier League, but you've seen enough football to know that it's not as straightforward as that, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, Leeds are offline at the moment, aren't they? And Daniel Farke, I know we've kind of made a bit of a joke of it at times when he says, I don't look at the table, but I know we're third.
He's lying.
But Daniel Farke, his consistent message was, let's get 2 points a game. Probably what he wasn't expecting was the fact that those around him are also getting 2 points a game right now. But yeah, great win at Swansea for them. Willie Nonso has come to the fore again now, hasn't he?
And, yeah.
You know, you look at Ilya Gruev as well in the midfield, who's taken his chance now. And it's a really competitive squad that Daniel Farke has built there. And, you know, the fact that they've, seven championship games? They've won all seven since the turn of the year. And they've just kind of kept their heads down and tunnel vision, kept going, and then suddenly see themselves now in second place.
Ipswich Town got a very, very late equaliser, which felt like a winner, didn't it, down at Portman Road?
Yeah.
Following that up with a thumping win away at Millwall. I mean, the fact that we were talking about them having some form of blip, in inverted commas, after what has been a breakneck return to the Championship, are they firmly back in amongst that second place chat?
I think that win was huge at Millwall because I think there was outside chatter, wasn't it? It was outside chatter. It was for people like us, I suppose. That,
I never said it. Or... promise, Kieran, I never said that.
But, it was outside chatter. I mean, I've done a lot of Ipswich Town games of late. Like you say, the late equaliser against West Bromwich Albion, you felt in the stadium that day. It was huge. And I've got to say, the reaction at the end from both sets of fans,
amazing,
when the players hit the deck at the end of that game because they'd given everything. And as for, the win against Millwall, I think that's, you know, Kieran McKenna probably won't admit it, but had doubts crept in, I'm not sure they would have done. George Hurst has been a big miss for them, Prutton, the way they want to play. We've spoken about that before. Kiefer Moore's been brought in as that kind of profiler striker to try and provide what George Hurst provides in terms of back to goal, build up play, players playing off him. But it was a big win at Millwall just to tell the others, look, we're not fading away here.
Another team, of course, that we would discuss at length about being in the playoff shake-up, West Brom. Obviously, the disappointment coming from that very, very late equaliser put to bed with the win of the week against Cardiff. You know Carlos well. You've spoken to him at length. I don't think there's a short conversation with Carlos Coburn, is there? Given how forensic he is. They currently sit fifth. Of course, they are a fair way behind Ipswich in fourth, but are they, for you, are they firmly nestled into that playoff chat, given where they are?
I think you can't rule Carlos Corberan out at all, can you? He comes up with game plans for each game. I spoke to him the other day before the Ipswich game. He was on his way home. I think it was 9 o'clock at night. He said, yeah, I've been in for 13, 14 hours today, but that's what he does. That's what he does, and he expects his staff to do exactly the same. Obviously, first of all, let's mention Daryl DK now. Yeah, he got a feel for Daryl DK with another.
Awful news, isn't it?
Other leg, isn't it? The Achilles, but we saw him off in tears.
And these aren't, sorry to put in, I mean, these aren't these are low key injuries. I've played with players that whose careers have ended with that particular injury. So the fact that he's come back from one and he's got another, I mean, absolutely right, mate. We just really feel for him, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, the pictures we saw of him going off on the golf buggy in tears. We actually saw him after the game. He was in the people carrier with the Albion physio. He was by the team bus, by our TV trucks at Ipswich.
Yeah.
So Don Goodman put his head in just to have a quick word with him. But yeah, hopefully he's back pretty soon. And obviously the players will want to do it for him, won't they? Because Carlos had just got, well, he still has really. I mean, obviously Daryl's out now for a considerable length of time, you'd imagine. But he's got more attacking options than he had earlier this season when he was... he was struggling up front to you know, Brandon Thomas Asante's had to lead the line, which obviously is really important for the team. But with the work they did in January, they brought other options in. And Carlos, you know, they got this game against Southampton at the weekend. Carlos says one of the best performances was at Southampton when they lost earlier this season. That was the benchmark. And he just comes up with these game plans, doesn't he, just to disarm the opposition, just to nullify them. And that performance, as we mentioned, against Ipswich last week and everything they put into that, and they were hit late. You know, Carlos will take great comfort from the performance, but he does an amazing job. Obviously, Olympiacos was 49 days. Don't know what went on there, but Huddersfield and West Bromwich Albion, defying the odds, you know, in terms of Albion, yeah, of course, huge club in the second tier, but with the financial restraints there, with the injuries he suffered, he again is defying the odds, Carlos.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man, wonderful company as well. Very intense, which we don't mind, do we? It's like speaking to a proper grown-up, not like this podcast. John Eustace is back at Blackburn Rovers.
Yes.
How's that for a fit for you?
A good one. Obviously, what happened at Birmingham happened. I think he saw that coming weeks before it actually happened, and we know what's happened there since. He just wants to coach, Chris, doesn't he? And Blackburn, obviously, great history, big club, we know that. Troubles at the end of the January window with what went on, not registering the players that they wanted to register. I know, second January in a row. Then obviously, Yondale Thomason wasn't speaking, well, was told not to talk to the media before that game, his last game, and then he spoke to the media after the game, and that's when you thought, oh, this doesn't look good, this doesn't sit right.
Correct.
John Eustace has come in. You know what he's like, plus just loves to coach players, He, I know he didn't admit it, but he would have been fired up to get something against Birmingham, which ultimately he didn't in the end. But Blackburn needs, Blackburn have got a squad there that has been built by, obviously, the director of football, and Yondale Thomason goes in and coaches them. Now that's up to John Eustace. But from what John's done in the past, you'd expect him to get Rovers going.
So that's another man back in a job. Another one in the division below, Darren Moore. We like Darren Moore a lot, don't we? Obviously, came out of Sheffield Wednesday. Things weren't too great then. I mean, time will tell and history will judge that particular decision on where Wednesday end up at the end of this season. But back in at Port Vale.
Yeah, I was told about this before. Well, I was kind of pointing in that direction.
No.
I was pointing in that direction. I keep it to myself, you know me. And I was thinking, right, because I thought, you know, Darren going back in, probably top end League One, maybe bottom end Championship, but he's gone to the bottom end of League One in terms of where Port Vale are, of course, but as a club, again, big club, we know that, great fan base. I'll be honest with you, I did his last game as Huddersfield boss. I texted him the next day when it happened, when he lost his job, and he said, I'm ready to go again right now. So I'm not surprised he's gone back in almost immediately. But Vale, I mean, they had that awful start opening day, didn't they, at Barnsley when they lost 7-0. Then they were up there and fallen away since. So, so Darren, you know, what he'd say Huddersfield is he didn't get the opportunity to play the way he wants to play, 4-2-3-1, because of the injuries. Obviously, the owner was very vocal on social media about questioning towards the end the formation and
why they were playing
passing back as well. Look, I think Kevin Nagle, the Huddersfield owner's got the best intentions, but when that happens, it can undermine a manager. Darren Moore said he didn't really feel it was, but I'm not too sure. But obviously at Port Vale, you know, you got Carol Shanahan there, who's had to come out and it's kind of a staunch defence of Dave Flitcroft, the director of football. You know, he's come under fire. She has launched a staunch defence of him, and Darren will get in there, and you know he's such a likable character, as we know. He has a bite as well, though, and if he can play the way he wants to play, then hopefully for Port Vale's sake, he can lift them clear of trouble.
Very much so. Just at the top end of that particular division, Pompey top, Derby just behind them in second. I said just behind them, 6 points behind them. Bolton in third on 62. Barnsley, Peterborough, Oxford, and Stevenage further down the bottom, as you say. Port Vale sat in 21st. Cheltenham Town, 22nd, they are 2 points off Port Vale and just 3 points behind. You can tell I'm working my maths.
I love watching you with your arithmetic.
And the thing is, I've written this down. This is even worse. So Charlton sat 20th under Nathan Jones.
Right.
But Cheltenham find themselves there, which, I mean, at one stage they were, I was going to say, not in a condescending way, but they were the whipping boys. They were a team that people were looking at in this division that looked like they were utterly adrift with no hope at all. But do they have a chance? Can they stay up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they couldn't score a goal, could they? We kept mentioning that at the start of the season. Couldn't score, let alone win a game. Darrell Clark's gone in there. Faceport Vale, his former club this weekend. Vale are just above them. He targeted 15 wins, didn't he? And even then he thought, oh, not sure. But this is what I'll say. They got eight. They got eight. So from where they were, you know, a big win against Blackpool during the week. They got Matty Taylor in there now. He's played with Darrell Clark a clue of times, including at Port Vale. Ian Barraclough's his assistant manager, I know well from the Northern Ireland setup, and he's really, really well-respected coach. So, yeah, I think I'd imagine when you're down there, you've got to make others worry ahead of you. And suddenly those ahead of Cheltenham must be looking around thinking, hang on, these are getting a bit of momentum here. But yeah, they looked well gone. So it's incredible that they're in touch now. And a big game, like I say, Darrell against his former club, Port Vale, at the weekend.
Well gone sounds way better when you say it in a Scouse accent.
Well gone,
they are well gone.
Well gone,
at the top end of the league too. Stop. We're discussing football. Stockport at the top. Mansfield, as we discussed with Simon, and again, it's not a Simon Weaver fan club, but it's a Simon Weaver fan club. He was wonderful. And the fact that you can take that on the chin, I'm sure. I get the feeling, and knowing him like we do, and having worked with him like we have done, Gary, Nigel Clough would have been the most magnanimous of bosses in the opposition dugout off the back of that, because of his wonderful time in the game. And again, another club that's doing terrifically well under him in League Two.
Yeah, and Simon used to speak to Nigel when Nigel was at Burton, and Simon was getting Harrogate up the leagues. The interesting thing about
similar road, isn't it, really? If you look
at those, exactly. Yeah, and obviously Burton went to the Championship, but I think the interesting thing was there were five up at half-time and Nigel Clough, because of what happened to them last season when they missed out in the playoffs by one goal scored, he said to them, you've got to keep going. You've got to keep going. So they scored nine. And then, of course, Nigel, his irritation was the two they conceded, of course. which he wasn't too happy about.
Always annoyed without a clean sheet.
He scored nine, but what about those two? it was interesting part of that game, the fact that, as you know, in the second half, we've seen it so many times where teams will back off because the points are in the bag, you know, midweek game, this, that, and the other. But he's gone, no, you've got to keep going because of what happened to us last season. And who knows, this could be the season Mansfield finally get what they've been looking for, that promotion.
Crewe just below them, one of the grand old institutions of English football. What's your thoughts on them?
I think Lee Bell's doing a brilliant job, hasn't he? Mm. Absolutely brilliant job. They are, well, Crewe obviously have been higher up the chain before, but they are standing amongst giants right now in that league in terms of their budget and what they have. I think Lee Bell called the win at Stockport the other night his best result yet. Unbeaten in five away, and they're going to the likes of Stockport and doing what they do. They host Harrogate at the weekend, don't they? So they might be expecting a bit of a reaction. For Crewe to be right in that mix and, you know, splitting some of those big names is testament to Lee Bell and his squad of players.
Down at the bottom, we have Forest Green Rovers with the wonderful Steve Cotchell. We'll get him on the podcast soon, hopefully, but obviously we've got to box up about 45 minutes for that. Big win for them against Barrow. Gets them off the foot of the table, foot of the whole pyramid. Can they?
With Steve there, it's possible, isn't it? I used to love watching Steve's Bristol City when they made the way up from League One and obviously winners at Wembley. I always remember first time I spoke to Steve Cotterill. You know, we have these research chats with the managers, and he thought I was phoning him just to ask for the team, like I was some cheeky little commentator. And he gave me, and I didn't ask for it. It was like 3 days before the game. He gave me his team. He said, "Don't you dare tell anyone my team because I'll be asking questions." And you know, when
you told me, didn't you?
Well, I told you exactly who was up front. But you know, then we go on air and we have to reveal the team and the graphics. I didn't even want to say it then, but he scared me so much. But no, him going in there, and that's their first one. I think it's in 15. Games, that'll give them, you know, a boost, obviously. And as I said before, Prutz, I think if you're the teams ahead, you've got to worry them, haven't you? You have to worry those teams. Absolutely. And I think Steve going in there and doing what he's doing, I mean, look, Forest Green have found it difficult since Rob Edwards left. Let's face facts. I know Duncan Ferguson tried his best last season to keep them up. They can't have a double dip. They can't have a double relegation back into non-league. But they've given themselves a fighting chance, and that's exactly what Steve will do.
Right, Gary Weaver, that's it for this week. You've done well to ignore the seagull cries in the background.
Is that what's going on?
Because I'm at the seaside in
the
northeast.
You are at the seaside, aren't you? Hey, Potts, we didn't mention Jaden Philogene's goal.
Go on then, wax the... I mean, only a man with the vocabulary that you have and the delivery can talk about that goal. Go on.
But no, it was only because...
It's his now, isn't it?
It is his, yeah, because originally it was taken off him. It's like, that's the best goal you've never scored. But I know he did a little back heel one as well, didn't he? Earlier this season. But no, to do that, I mean, that'd probably be four cruise ships for you, wouldn't it?
It would be that, and I would collapse halfway through. But the Rabona finish, I mean, yeah. and I mean this with the greatest respect to both teams and the county, because I'm obviously from there. But Hull City away at Rotherham at the New York Stadium, you didn't think you'd see a goal of a season contender. But I mean, that could be the one that takes everyone down, surely.
That could be a Puskás moment. I mean, obviously you got the Wes Burns efforts, yes, and Patrick Bamford's
equally wonderful. Yes.
Yeah, but that.
There you go. Then so Burns, Bamford, Philogene, which is the best?
I like Burns just because of the team play up to it as well. But with your Jaden Philogene, imagine such that when you get in the dressing room. By the way, it's not your goal, mate.
Yeah.
Suddenly it is though now. So there
we go. It was. I think on balance of technique and wonderment, they've gone. Yeah. We need to give them that goal.
Yeah, 100%.
And on that wonderment-based bombshell, let's move swiftly on. Gary, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Where are you this weekend?
I am off to Plymouth Argyle versus Leeds United. So looking forward to
on
that
the train?
One. Of course, if it turns up.
I mean, are you setting off now? Or
Yes.
Okay. All right, and I'm not going to ask you which train it is, what time it is, or what station
from. No. Leave me alone. Yes. It's a lovely fireplace, but I'll never forget that fireplace.
Thank you very much. It's kind of an off-yellow colour, I think, which is meant to...
Harrogate colours, really. Harrogate colours.
It is. That's why we made Simon Weaver feel so welcome. And he was a wonderful Weaver, but you will always be forever the only Weaver for me, my friend.
Thank you very much. Lies.
Bye-bye. Bon voyage. So that's it. Another podcast done. It's a big thank you to the Weavers, Simon of Harrogate Town and Gary of Sky Sports, and of course to Debbie McArdle from the EFL. Please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts, or watch it right here on YouTube. My name's Debbie Prutton, and hopefully I'll see you the same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.